5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Mom, I saw Dylan's dad make dinner, like actually cook, and it was straight fire. He said it was Blue Apron Assemble and Bake. All the ingredients showed up pre-chopped, and he just laid it out on a baking sheet and no cap. Dinner was on the table in like 25 minutes. Apparently, it's chef designed and it has like over 40 grams of protein. That's a lot, right? So maybe we try it. Just saying. You can be the next Dylan's dad. Blue Apron. Get $50 off your first two orders plus free shipping with code STIR50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the True Crime Society podcast with Stephanie and Olivia. It is February 15th, day after Valentine's Day. Hope everyone had a lovely day. I got a Valentine card from Baby Jack. He went out and bought it himself and signed it himself.
he must have spent a long time choosing one.
Yeah, he did. He like went through all of them. He wanted to pick the perfect one. He signed his name. He's very advanced for his age, just so you all know. We are still dealing with this Nancy Guthrie extravaganza. We'll get into talking about it more and our thoughts on the whole thing because it's just been – we just recorded Patreon and we were just saying it's just been such like a circus now. Like,
yeah.
It's
– jump the shark? Is that the saying?
Jump the shark, yeah. I don't know why that's a saying, but
– I don't know either, but it's like I feel like we should preface that this is probably going to be the last episode on Nancy that we do until there is major, major news in the case. I just feel like it was important to do this episode to kind of wrap up everything and leave it off at a point where essentially I don't want to jinx it, but at this stage, there's not too much actually happening.
There's
that
just
we
ruckus.
Know of. It's just noise and ruckus. So obviously, we will update when something really big does happen. But I don't want people to think that every week it's just going to be Nancy from now on because it's not. I feel like we've covered her case really extensively. This is a wrap up, and this is where we'll leave it until, there's more news, proper news to share.
Yeah, I don't want to give attention to any of the ruckus makers, so.
Yeah, and we have had a lot of comments from people like, enough is enough. Like, I totally get it. It's just such a mess at this point. I feel horrible for the Guthrie family. You know, obviously we still don't know if any one of them is involved, like we mentioned in the last episode. It's looking maybe not like it was one of them now, but either way, they have to deal with the mess, their mother missing. It's just, there's so much going on.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that as we go,
but just
at the start to say this will be, we're not going to cover every single episode on Nancy and every little thing about a blogger outside saying people are dead in the street and all that. Anyways, we are going to start off. We have our Patreon subscribers, as always. We've been keeping up with it, and we're going to keep up with it. So shout out to all of our new people who have joined. Hopefully you stick with us beyond the Nancy Guthrie extravaganza.
So one other thing I just want to preface too in terms of Patreon, I know that there are people – so I'm reading this off the Patreon app where we have the list of new members, but I know that we've had emails. So I feel like there might be a lag in between when the app is updated and versus when you actually join. So if we don't read your name out today and you have joined, you will absolutely be next week. We're just going off what the app is telling us at the moment, just in case you're wondering why your name may not be read out. But Lou, Sally, Julie, Courtney, Cassie, Casey, Amila, I hope that's right, Jess, Brooke, Sophie, Megan, Melissa, and Marissa. So thank you so, so, so much. Yeah.
Welcome. See, people join our Patreon, so like you should too, everyone.
Yeah. And if you like, I don't know, maybe some people, like when I, if there are people who I speak to and they ask about the podcast, that people don't know what Patreon is. Basically, you pay around $1 US a week. Obviously, it'll be more or maybe less depending on your currency, and you get an extra episode a week that's at least half an hour. We've just recorded on a murder-suicide in Canada where the basically a man killed his wife and two children, but the wife was complicit in it. She knew what was happening and agreed to the scenario. So we do an extra separate case. We have a bit of a chat on there, and you get all episodes ad-free too, if that is what you're
into. And the main episode gets released earlier too. Plus there's chats on Patreon. And I think Olivia and I both feel, well, speaking for myself, I won't speak for you, but I feel safer talking about things and giving more of my opinions on Patreon because I feel like I'm not going to be like thrown to cancel culture frenzy media of correcting any stupid thing I say. So I feel like I'm a little more myself on Patreon and a little less guarded, give more opinions on things.
And now I think, like, I don't even know how many episodes we've got, but we definitely have over 100 on there, like maybe nearly 150, maybe. Anyway, we've got definitely over 100. So if you are looking for more content, I basically only listen to true crime podcasts, and I have personally found, I don't know if anyone else is feeling this way, that a lot of them have dropped off over the past few years. So I love when I find one that has a back catalog that I can listen to. So we have heaps. If that's what you're looking for, there's tons and tons on there.
So for bonus episodes, there's 127 currently.
I was close. Close to 150.
Yeah. I was ready to be like, there's like 200.
I knew it was definitely over 100, but I thought maybe it was a little bit less than 150.
Feels like 200.
And the other thing we haven't done in a while is Listener of the Week. This one made me laugh, so I picked it. It's not particularly a nice, kind Listener of the Week, but shout out for making me laugh, I guess. The person, I don't even know how you say their name. Roy is the person's name. Roy, I don't know. Anyway, so this was after the last Nancy episode where I mentioned that we don't have the Today Show in Australia, as in the US Today Show, which is what I was talking about. It turns out we do. It's just not like a super popular show. It's only you can watch it maybe on a like weird time on a weird channel. So we do have it. And we do also have the Australian Today Show, which has nothing to do with the case, which is why I didn't mention it. So I'm not sure which this person is referring to.
I feel like
to.
You did though, because I edited it, because you were like, we do have the Today Show, but not the Today Show.
Yeah.
Like-
So someone did message nicely and they said, hey, we do have the American one here. I grew up watching Savannah. So we do. That was just a mistake I made. We do. Yeah. Anyway, this person wrote, Wombat could have mentioned we have Today in Oz too, but that's not about her.
Like what?
So I guess maybe the person was thinking I was speaking too much about myself, but we do have Today's Show here. I don't know. But the Wombat
We didn't
part.
Even talk about ourselves in that episode at all. So it's just like, the maybe you have a
part,
hater.
The Wombat part made me laugh because I've never been called a wombat before. And I'm like, if there's one animal to be called, that's probably a good one. They're cute, but they're
cute
aggressive.
One.
They're cute, but they can be aggressive. So that's probably fairly accurate.
Wombat attack.
Yeah, crazy.
Now I'm just going to call you Wombat.
That made me laugh. So anyway, thanks for that.
Thanks for the laugh if you're listening. Okay, so we're just going to get right into it because there's a lot to talk about, and people who are just listening for this case probably don't care about our chit-chat. Yeah. If you want to hear chit-chat, go join Patreon. So we finished up the first episode about Nancy on day 9 of the investigation. So that was right before the CCTV and surveillance was released. So it's pretty much where we're going to start. At that point, the ransom deadline had passed and there was no resolution. It didn't seem like, well, people were reporting that there was no money in the Bitcoin account, and that was that. It was kind of like nothing was happening. So we're now at day 15 of the investigation. As of the time of recording, we still have no answers. At the end, and for Patreon, I'll put this out tonight probably. And then if there's any other updates, I'll try to record a little update like I did in the last one to add in at the end. So we've learned some new information about things that we reported on in episode 1 that we just wanted to clarify. So in regard to Nancy being due to attend church on February 1st, we did talk about this in the first episode being like, oh, like, could she drive there? Could she Uber? Because there's all these things about her mobility. Like, was she just out and about going herself? So it turns out that she actually goes to join friends at a neighbor's house to watch an online church service of Good Shepherd New York. So she was still leaving, going out, but it was just to a neighbor's house. And clearly, since she was just meeting friends, it'd be more apparent to them that she was like missing and they couldn't get in touch with her. Michael Rudzina, who is the church pastor, said that he met with Nancy when she visited New York. The visits took place after her daughter Savannah began attending the church 10 years ago, he said. And after the pandemic hit, the church began to stream its services, prayers and sermons. And that is when Nancy started to watch. So the Pima County Sheriff's Department initially had said that her absence was noted because she'd failed to show up for church. They didn't really mention that it was a virtual service viewed from her friend's house. So, I mean, they weren't really wrong. She didn't show up for church, but there just was no like clarification, which I don't know. Like, did we really need the clarification? I guess us nosy people did, but
they were probably like, I feel like the sheriff has done maybe a pretty shitty job or that. You know, at least that we know of so far. It's a messy case, but maybe, for instance, this wasn't, they just said that just to make it easy. Like they don't need, it doesn't matter about the proper explanation. She was meant to attend a church service, essentially she was, and she didn't, so.
Yeah, and I don't know, just to elaborate on that, I'm sure I'll have more to say about it. I never know like when to say my thoughts because I'm like, oh, save them, but then I forget. I feel like so many people have just been shitting on the sheriff, and I do think that they've made mistakes. Like letting reporters go up to the crime scene and then re-blacking off the crime scene. Apparently there's been some like back and forth with the FBI and kind of like a territorial behavior maybe is being reported. Again, who knows what's really true, but I just think like it's turned into such a media frenzy also of just like shitting on the sheriff's department, and people online are just going crazy like with comments like shitting on the sheriff's department. And I'm not standing up for them, but just like the media circus of it all doesn't help anything. I made a post about this today of like the sheriff made a comment that was like, you know, it could be days, weeks, months, years until we find Nancy, but we're never going to give up. So that was his quote. And then what the media articles took as the headline was, sheriff says could take years to find Nancy. And everyone's like, oh, this fucking idiot, how's it gonna take years? Why is he saying that? Why is he saying it's gonna take years? Because nobody reads the actual article. So I just feel like so much of it is just, again, a circus. Like,
yeah,
why are they doing that? Just, that's not what he said.
Absolutely. Before we get into the episode, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor, ButcherBox. Trying to get your nutrition and your budget aligned this year? ButcherBox delivers high-quality protein at incredible value, which we all love at this time of year and this stage of the economy, including family faves your kids will actually eat with zero grocery store chaos required. ButcherBox delivers over 100 premium protein options straight to your door, including 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, crate-free pork, and wild-caught seafood. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. It's the clean, trustworthy protein you want to be eating, especially at the start of a new year.
And whether you're meal prepping for a strong start to the year, feeding a family with picky preferences, or just trying to keep weeknights simple, ButcherBox offers fully customizable plans that fit your routine, your goals, and your schedule. I was so excited to get my box from ButcherBox because, as I always say, I don't like going to the grocery store, especially with the baby now. I'm not going to the grocery store. I get everything delivered as much as possible. And sometimes with meats, like, you get a little scared ordering them and having someone else pick them out for you. You don't know, like, which expiration date they're going to pick, what quality they're going to pick. But with ButcherBox, you know that they're picking the best, high quality, ready to go, top notch selection. Like, I got sirloin tips in mine. I got two ribeyes. I got chicken tenderloins. I got a thing of ribs, and they were all amazing and easy to freeze. Like, I still have some in my freezer, so I've been able to stretch it out, which I love. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between organic ground beef, chicken breast, or ground turkey in every box for a year, plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/TCS. That's right, your choice of organic ground beef, chicken breast, or ground turkey in every box for an entire year, plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/TCS. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Back to it. On February 10th, authorities released CCTV footage and stills of Nancy's alleged abductor. We mentioned in the last episode how authorities believe that they weren't able to pull the footage because Nancy didn't have a subscription for her Nest doorbell. But I guess Google worked with authorities and they managed to pull the footage from the residual data. So this is a quote about it from the FBI director, Kash Patel. He said, over the last 8 days, the FBI and Pima County Sheriff's Department have been working closely with our private sector partners to continue to recover any images or video footage from Nancy Guthrie's home that may have been lost, corrupted, or inaccessible due to a variety of factors, including the removal of recording devices. The video was recovered from residual data located in back-end systems. He said, working with our partners as of this morning, law enforcement has uncovered these previously inaccessible new images showing an armed individual appearing to have tampered with the camera at Nancy Guthrie's front door the morning of her disappearance. And this was another thing that people went, I'm going to have to like stop doing this because this episode will be so long, that people online were like, it's just a good example. People online were going crazy over being like, how did you guys hold on to this for so long? Why didn't you release this right away? Why are you holding it? They weren't holding it. They couldn't get it because it wasn't something, they couldn't just log into Nancy's account and get it. Because she didn't have a subscription, there weren't on her app or device, the camera was gone. So they had to work with Google, which usually takes like paperwork and like,
yeah
I don't know, it's like a warrant, a subpoena. They have to get all these things, then work with Google to try to figure out how to get it. And I'm sure they found some like, whatever it was, like residual data that they were then able to get the stuff from. But again, people don't like really think about it. And they're just like, why would you hold this for so long? You could have put this out days ago. I'm sure they would have if they had it. It would have made their lives easier too.
The footage is really terrifying. Like, it makes me so sad for Nancy just to think that this is what she was faced with. But like, I'm sure if you're listening to this episode, you've probably seen the footage or the photos anyway, but it's basically, I thought at the time it was a man. The FBI have since confirmed it is a male, but he's wearing like a balaclava type ski mask. So you can just see his eyes, just super creepy. Like you
tell he's there for trouble.
Yeah. And so he goes up to the camera. He like has this bunch of weeds or like, I don't even know what it is. Like some type
of
plant.
He goes from being, I would be terrified, but he goes from being intimidating to looking like an idiot very quickly. Yeah. Granted, I would not want this man outside my door at 2 a.m. I would be scared no matter what. But watching it as a person who's watching, this guy looks like an idiot.
Super. Like, I feel like he does seem unprepared. Like, if, you know, if you were planning to go to a house and do that, wouldn't you maybe take something to cover the doorbell up with, not just try and grab a bunch of weeds? I don't know. It's just a weird, weird footage.
Yeah. So he, like, goes around. He, like, walks up to the door, does not seem like he has intent, like, does not seem like he's on a mission. He, like, weirdly walks up to the door, sees the camera, kind of is like, oh, shit, I need to cover this camera, then spends, like, multiple minutes looking around for ways to cover the camera while in front of the camera. It's like, hello, the camera is filming you. Why bother looking for something to cover it up at this point? Just, you would have been better off just being quick at this point.
One thing that a few people have said, which I did agree with, is that he doesn't really seem to be in a hurry. Like,
you would think
that if you were planning to go and do this, carry out this horrendous crime, you'd want to be in and out as quick as possible so no one would see you. Like, there would be no neighbors,
just
no
meandering
one
around.
But he's just kind of is. Like someone made, I think it was, I'm just paraphrasing, but they commented and said basically it looks like he just expected that he would be able to get in or be let in. It's not like he, you know, thought he would have to actually make an effort to obtain entry to the house.
Yeah. And like he doesn't seem nervous really or like in a frenzy, no like trying to be quick, just very, it's just weird. He's weird. There is also, it look, appears to be a gun in his waistband, not even in his waistband, literally at the front of his pants.
It looks so awkward. Like, I don't know.
Because it's like, where his, it's like at his genital area.
Yeah.
It is looks where it is.
It just looks like he's put a gun there and he doesn't quite know where it should actually be worn. But
yeah, it looks like he's never had a gun in his life.
Yeah.
Josh Sherrard, who is a former SWAT commander and police captain, spoke to CNN and said that the type of holster that the guy was wearing is not one that someone who is familiar with firearms would use. This, he said, this seems more like a very cheap off-the-shelf holster that somebody just stores their gun in, and it just happens to have a belt loop on the back of it, and they thought they could just throw it on. It honestly looks like it's something that would have Velcro on it, is what it looks like to me, like lunchbox material.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, I know the exact material you're talking about.
Like, it's just, it's giving a lunchbox vibe.
It's not like a leather holster or anything like that. It's literally just like a soft material holster.
Yeah, it's not something that's going to like hold your gun securely, I would say. Josh also questioned why the gun was being carried where it was. He said, was it out of convenience? Obviously, the intent wasn't to conceal it. So was the intent to make sure it was displayed in order to be threatening when he wanted into the house, or to be quickly accessed when he went into the house, or in case anyone came across him? Again, like I said, it's like right over his genital area at the front of his pants where your zipper would be. So definitely a weird spot to put it. I mean, there are stills from the footage. You can see in the video too, like Olivia said, he's wearing a mask. There's eye openings. You could see his eyes. You could see parts of his eyebrows. You could see that it seems like he has facial hair. He's wearing gloves, but I don't know. To me, they don't really seem like regular, like, rubber surgical gloves. They seem like padded a little bit.
But do you know what?
I don't know.
I don't want to jump ahead, but there's been an update today where they've said that you can
more
probably
about
take
the
this
gloves.
Out. They've said that the gloves that were photographed aren't the gloves that they think the suspect had. There's, it's another pair. You know that photograph that they
So maybe
it's like a totally They found these gloves somewhere else. Yeah.
All right. So we'll get back to the gloves. Yeah. So Andrew McCabe, a former FBI director, pointed out what he believes is a mustache in the stills. He said, if you look just under his nose, you could see what appears to be a mustache underneath the mask. So I think it's highly probable that this person also has facial hair, at least to include a mustache, maybe more than that. It's those kind of details that individually don't mean anything, but when you put them together, if you know this person, that might jog your ability to identify him and provide that information to authorities. So maybe this guy has shaved his face now, so that would be another red flag.
Mm.
The Guthrie family said they did not recognize the suspect in the video. In a bit of a duh update, Greg McCrae, who's a former FBI profiler, told the media that the person's everyday routine will have likely been disrupted since the abduction. I feel like they say this with every case.
Yeah.
He said his normal routine, going to work, going to the coffee shop, going wherever, highly unlikely that has remained the same. He's got a victim to take care of, which I don't know if he does.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
To take care of.
So this was now a few days ago. Like, I mentioned in the last episode, I thought there was a chance Nancy could be alive. I highly doubt it now, especially just given the passage of time. But again, if Nancy didn't survive long after she was abducted, the person could very well still be going around their daily routine without anyone noticing any different.
Yeah. Maybe acting strange because they're paranoid, but he could still go to the coffee shop. Jeff Lamy, who is a neighbor of Nancy, spoke to the media about the neighborhood and its seclusion. His comments back up what we were saying in the first episode. He said, the lots are approximately an acre, but not only are they large, but as you noted, the foliage, the cactus, etc., the scrub, it's very dense. Our camera, for example, captures the front of our yard, but not the roadway, just because of the distance. So it captures a courtyard and nothing beyond that, and that's not atypical. So that's basically what we said when we recorded.
Yeah, I think we said that exact thing. Like, it would record someone coming up to your front door, but it wouldn't record someone going past on the street or walking past or anything like that.
And one of our listeners, Danny, she also made a comment on Spotify that had some information, and she said, it's called a dark sky neighborhood. The people voted for no streetlights to lessen light pollution. This is for a better view of the stars and for wildlife reasons. So obviously it would be very dark there as well.
Yeah.
On day 10, authorities kept searching the area around Annie's home. And Annie is Savannah's sister, Nancy's daughter, for those who don't remember. That afternoon and evening, things really started to ramp up in the case. So we thought.
I just feel like there's so many. It is an absolute
rollercoaster. So we thought.
Yeah. And it all happens at night, your time as well.
I know. Like, I'm like literally like, I'm going to bed. Fuck this.
But yeah. So like things seem quiet. And then all of a sudden, there's a flurry of activity. And that has happened on multiple days in the case.
Literally at 9 p.m. my time last night. And I was like, well, it's time for stuff to start popping off. Time to go to bed. Because I know it's you, Kelly, and Marissa or have each other to look things up and post things. So you don't need me. And I need to go to bed. I'm tired.
Yeah.
So TMZ reported on Tuesday, February 10th, that there had been activity on the Bitcoin account for the ransom letters. Harvey from TMZ told CNN, I can only tell you that we have seen activity in the account. KGUN9 reported the activity and said that the transaction had been for less than $300. Also on day 10, the Pima County Sheriff announced that they had detained an individual for questioning. This person was detained during a traffic stop, and this info is from CNN. A subject was detained and is currently being questioned in connection to the Nancy Guthrie investigation, the Pima County Sheriff's Department posted on X. The subject was stopped during a traffic stop south of Tucson. The individual was detained near the border in Rio Rico, a local law enforcement official added. Rio Rico is around 60 miles south of Tucson near the U.S. border with Mexico.
So once they announced that, just to kind of interject for a second, once they announced that, there was so much speculation. Like, was the person trying to flee? Like, found right near the border, were they trying to flee? What were they doing? Like, I feel like this really seemed like it could be a promising event in this case. I really thought, yep, this all makes sense. The person knew they were going to get found out. Maybe that, and with, in terms of the Bitcoin too, the $300 transaction, there was comments online saying that often that happens right before a large transaction is made, just to make sure the account is all working. And I don't know the Bitcoin terminology. I've never made a transaction, but basically, yeah. You know, it's like, also I do the same sometimes. If I ever know I have to make a large bank transaction, I'll do a small one just to make sure it's all right and then do the rest. Mm-hmm. So like this really seemed promising, I thought.
Yeah, it seemed like stuff was happening.
Yeah.
And I think with so many cases these days, like things happen so quickly just because there's so much technology. There's like everyone has a Ring doorbell, like we've said. Like it's hard for cases to go on for so long sometimes it seems like, especially when it's as high profile as this.
Yeah.
So I think just people are like, oh, here we go. Like it's happening. We expect it to be happening. So around this time, Kash Patel, the FBI director, made a statement and said, we're looking at people who, as we say, are people of interest, persons of interest.
Yeah. So he specifically said persons as in multiple, but we knew at the time they had only detained this one person.
After the individual was detained, things became very chaotic. It was determined that the individual was named Carlos, and we won't say his full name. I'm sure you could find it if you wanted to, but it doesn't really matter, but we'll get into that, but we won't say his last name. His mother-in-law gave some interviews to the media that night where she was talking about the situation.
I don't want to laugh because it's obviously a very sad situation and a very sad case. After this Carlos was detained, his mother-in-law, Josefina, basically went wild with the media. She did a bunch of interviews where she told everyone what had happened. She said something along the lines of Carlos had been in his car during a traffic stop. Then police had gone to her house, which is where he was living, and they'd busted in. And there was a kind of a weird, confusing moment where she spoke about another son possibly being arrested and detained for a short period of time. But basically Josefina was talking to everyone. After Carlos was taken in for questioning, though, authorities revealed there was no sign of Nancy. This was up and down roller coaster. Everyone thought this was going to be it. But despite that, after a few hours, Carlos was arrested without charge. He then gave some of his own interviews to the media. We might put a clip in here.
They investigated my car and this man, and that's it. They didn't ask me no questions, no nothing.
Did you get the other car back? Or they still have it?
No, it's right there.
Oh, they gave it back to you? So.
Yeah, it's like.
And they said you can go home?
Yeah.
And how did they treat, like, the people you were with, your girl, your child?
I don't want to speak.
Yeah,
about
not
that.
Understood. Yep.
How's your family? They scared everybody. Shock. I was going to say, they scared everybody, huh?
Yeah, they're all in shock right now.
Wow.
Did they damage the house?
What did they do to the house?
They broke the doors. What else? The garage door in the back.
So what are you going to do now?
I'll try to clear my name. I didn't do anything.
Well,
can you tell us your name again? I hope they get the suspect, because I'm not it. They better do their job and find the suspect that did it so they can clear my name. And I'm done. Look at what I'm putting my family through.
You're on national news now.
Not just them. Even my parents in Tucson.
Right.
Yeah.
And your mother-in-law was worried about you? She was saying it doesn't look anything like him?
Yeah, see? That's what I'm telling you guys.
Why do you think they came here? Why did you think they came to you?
If I would have known that answer, I would have given it to you. But I don't.
So you have no idea what led them to you? Nothing. They didn't say car make, a license, nothing.
Nada.
Carlos, ¿hablas español?
Dos, dos. Soy bilingüe.
Carlos, ¿nos puedes platicar en español para Telemundo Arizona? ¿Qué fue lo que sucedió?
Pues me estaban acusando de secuestro, algo que yo no hice. Y me... I'm done.
Okay.
What's your name?
Sorry, what's your name, sir?
Carlos.
Along the lines of what he was saying is that he had no idea who Nancy Guthrie is. He was just... It was all happened out of the blue. He said, they told me I was being detained for kidnapping. I asked them, kidnapping of who? And he goes, I told them I might have delivered a package to their house, but I never kidnapped nobody. He also said that the FBI told him it's about a kidnapping. And he said, what the fuck? I didn't kidnap no one.
Carlos told reporters that he had been held from 4 p.m. to after midnight and was asked questions, this is a quote from him, like where I was, what hours, before being told that he was free to go. The FBI then increased the reward for information in Nancy's case to $50,000 from the original $2,500. So that's a little bit more enticing, I would say.
Before we carry on with the episode, we're going to hear a word from our sponsor, Nutrafol. Let's be real, we know that women have been sold every miracle product under the sun. 30-day transformations, quick fixes, overnight results, and somehow none of them actually last. That's why Nutrafol stands out. It's not about hype. It's about committing to a simple daily routine that supports hair health from within so that results actually build over time. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF certified for sport, and clinically tested to measure improvements in hair growth, quality, and strength.
Adding Nutrafol to your daily routine is easy. Order online, no prescription needed, with automated deliveries and free shipping to keep you on track. Plus, with a Nutrafol subscription, you can save up to 20% and get added perks to support your hair health journey. Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code TCS. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code TCS. So like we were saying, every day that this investigation has gone on, things have become much more circus-like. There's just been so much activity. At one point, there was a pizza delivery man who was able to like walk right up to Nancy's front door when it's supposed to be like a roped-off crime scene at this point. And the sheriff or whoever was there, I don't know if it was the sheriff or FBI, didn't notice that the guy went up to the door. Then they put out like a statement on X about being like, guys, reporters, please don't order pizza to the house. Like, come on. And everyone's like, hey, maybe they should be allowed to eat and maybe you should make sure people don't go up to the door. So then everyone was yelling at them. Then they also put out a statement that asked people not to call the authorities, like the emergency numbers or the tip lines, to offer their thoughts and opinions and feelings. That quote says, the Pima County Sheriff's Department recognized that members of the community may have thoughts, opinions, feelings, or questions regarding the Nancy Guthrie case. We respectfully ask that only actionable tips be submitted through one of the following channels, and it has the numbers 1-800-CALL-FBI and all that.
Yeah. So like, obviously this was day 10. These kind of things are still happening. Like I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, but anyway, in the last few days, pool cleaner, like it was obviously probably like a regularly scheduled thing, but a pool cleaner showed up to clean Nancy's pool. I just am like, what is going on? It's still happening. Still happening.
Yeah. It's just like a big mess, it seems like.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of, I've said to you, this reminds me of Delphi, just like the local, not even local, like just the hysteria now this has caused. With Delphi, it was more local at first, but this has gone international, at least the whole country, like very quickly, of people just like doing too much. Like you don't need to call in like because someone gave you a weird feeling or because you want to offer prayers or condolences or you have questions. Like that's actually how the Delphi case kind of got fucked up, is because the police were so bombarded with tips and calls and fake tips and people complaining about YouTubers and people talking about this and just calling in anyone that they wanted to call in for a tip, that the actual real tip ended up getting buried and lost and didn't get found for years later. So it's not good to do those things. Like how they're like, oh, nothing's too small. That's true. But also like if you're a random person in New York who just like watched a YouTube video and that person you thought was doing too much or like being annoying, that's not really a reason to call the tip line.
Yeah.
So that brings us to February 11th, which also happens to be day 11. So tributes to Nancy have been increasingly placed near her home. There's a memorial there. There's lots of flowers, which is nice to see. Everyone's coming to place things there. TMZ and other media agencies got another bizarre letter on February 11th. The letter was said to be from someone who knows who the kidnapper is. So this seems different from the first group of letters, I think.
That were from the kidnapper, apparently.
Yeah. Those ones, the first group was from the kidnapper. Apparently, we don't even know if those are real at this point. Who knows? These seem like they're different because it's someone who's claiming to know who the kidnapper is and that they're demanding a single Bitcoin in exchange for info. Apparently, a single Bitcoin is at least like $50,000 or something.
Yeah, I think it's like something. 60. Yeah, something. Anyway, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not just like one thing. So Harvey from TMZ, he said the letter essentially says, I've tried to get in touch with Savannah's brother and sister to no avail. They said if they want to get the name of the individual who is involved in this kidnapping to send the Bitcoin. The letter finished with, time is more than relevant. TMZ reported the Bitcoin address in the letter was real and that it was different to the address from the previous letter. So to me, this just seems like a scammer being a scammer. Yeah. I said it's like the new day Apple gift cards, iTunes gift cards that people used to ask for. Like people, we've had people message us in the past when we would post about missing persons cases being like, we have your loved one, send us iTunes gift cards. And we're like,
they don't quite realize that we're just posting about the person. Yeah. We don't actually have anything to do with the person.
And also we're not idiots. So
I feel like too, because TMZ is giving this so much airtime. Obviously this person knew that this would get a rise out of TMZ. It's just, I feel like this is a scam. I agree.
Yeah. The Pima County Sheriff also revealed that they had received more than 18,000 calls to the tip line. Over 4,000 of the calls had come in since the CCTV and stills of the suspect were released. So again, that's like a lot. How many are actually helpful and relevant? That is the question.
Yeah.
A black glove was also recovered on February 11th near Nancy's home. There's pictures of the black glove. This info is from the New York Post. It says detectives found the clothing item, which resembles the pair worn by the armed perpetrator caught on video, about 1.5 miles from Nancy's home. New York Post reporter Georgia Worrell was at the scene when the glove was found. She said, "We were just in the right place at the right time." Georgia said she and the photographer that she was working with saw a black object on the side of the road, and as they got closer, they thought it might be a glove. She said it had just been discarded on the side of the road. It wasn't until after they were able to see the photographer's high-resolution photos that they confirmed it was a glove, and the item was bagged as evidence. This article mentions it was a single glove, but many other articles saying it was a pair of gloves. So,
I feel like, too, so obviously, as we mentioned, I don't know if we mentioned it this episode, but this was chronological. So we wrote these notes in the blog as this was ongoing. So that's what we knew at the time. Since that glove has been found, or gloves, there's multiple gloves. I'm like, why is everyone studying gloves in this area? But I feel like this glove, I don't think is going to be of any importance, which we'll get into as we go on. It's not the glove, but I feel like it's just showing the kind of sloppiness of the investigation, possibly. Like, you would think maybe if you see a glove, you would pick it up as part of the investigation, or the area that should have been more thoroughly searched. I feel like that is the significance of this glove, is that it was missed and it could have been evidence at the time. We didn't know. So.
Yeah, I don't think the problem we'll get into, but they found many gloves because I guess they said that searchers were wearing gloves and like some of the searchers kind of like threw their gloves. So I don't know when that happened, but the problem isn't that they're found like multiple gloves, because some people are like, oh, how are there so many gloves? I'd rather them take all the gloves and all the gloves versus being like, oh, no, these gloves are too far away, or these are probably searchers' gloves. So it's good they took all the gloves, but it's like, why weren't they found sooner? Like we're at day 11.
Yeah, before day 11.
Because then maybe that would have filtered out some of the excess gloves if they were found sooner. I don't know. So at this point, media agencies and investigators start to focus on trying to identify the backpack that was carried by the alleged abductor. You can see it in the video that I'm sure we've all seen. And they did come to the conclusion that the backpack appears to be an Ozark Trail hiker pack. And according to a CNN analysis, the Ozark Trail is Walmart's private label outdoor brand. So it was probably bought at a Walmart.
This person seems to have done a lot of shopping at Walmart.
Yeah.
Which we'll get into soon.
I mean, honestly, same. So whatever.
So on day 12, authorities asked residents of Nancy's neighborhood to check their doorbell camera footage for two specific days in January. This is a statement that they asked when they asked for information. It says investigators are looking for footage from January 11th between 9 p.m. and midnight, which is totally unrelated. Well, we don't know if it's unrelated, but it wasn't the day that Nancy went missing. And also from January 31st, which is the day she did go missing, between 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. So I guess it's kind of insinuating. They said they're asking for that earlier footage from January 31st, like earlier in the day, because there was a suspicious vehicle in the area. So maybe they, you know, kind of insinuating that someone was casing the area, driving past her house, seeing what the setup was. Mm-hmm. At around 8 a.m. local time that day, authorities erected a white tent out the front of Nancy's house. The tent covered the front porch where the blood drops were seen. That's what we spoke about in the first episode, about how the police essentially released the house despite there still being blood very, very visible on the front porch. Brian Anton went straight up to it.
Yeah.
So after this, they went back and covered up with the tent. There was speculation at the time that they were doing this to kind of measure how tall the person was, which I think is probably what they were doing, because now they had this camera footage. They could work out, you know, this person was this height on, you know, near the door and things like that. So I feel like that's probably what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Investigators were also seen packing up a large black case along with other items that they'd brought into the home. So they were still doing some type of forensic examination at that point.
And one of the pictures showed one of the investigators literally carrying something with like different heights on it, like 5'7", 5'8", 5'9". So that's why it was assumed that that's what they were doing with the height.
Yeah. Savannah made another post on this day. She posted some home movies with the caption, "Our lovely mum, we will never give up on her. Thank you for your prayers and hope." So on February 12th, TMZ received another note. That note was sent via email. On February 12th, the FBI increased the reward in the case to $100,000, and they did release some more information about the stature of the abductor, which I feel like is part of that white tent investigation.
Yeah.
This is their statement. It says, "Today the FBI is increasing its reward up to $100,000 for information." They go on to say they've found new identifying details about the suspect following forensic analysis. It says the suspect is described as a male, which was the first time that it was ever confirmed as a male. Some people were speculating it looked like a female. I personally never thought it did, but the FBI confirmed it was a male, approximately 5'9 to 5'10 tall with an average build. In the video, he is wearing a black 25-liter Ozark Trail hiker pack backpack, which is what CNN had already established. And then they just go on to talk about the amount of tips and things like that that they've received. So they posted some very clear pictures of another, like they have obviously purchased the same backpack. There's nothing super notable about it. It's like black or a very, very dark gray. It looks like on the straps, there's kind of like a reflective piece maybe. So you could find it in the dark. And I feel like you can
kind of see that. It looks like lunchbox material.
Yeah, again. But it's essentially a very nondescript dark gray or black backpack.
Yeah.
So also on February 12th, CCTV of a man that was seen in Nancy's neighborhood on the night she was abducted was released. A lot of people made a big deal about this. So I personally think it's unrelated, especially because mm-hmm. it was happening at the exact same time that Nancy was likely being abducted. I guess it could be two people.
I also don't think it really looks like the same person.
But I feel like most people were kind of thinking that maybe this person was related to the case and was working mm-hmm. with whoever took Nancy, but it was 5 miles away. So if it was next door, I'd be like, yep, absolutely. But it was miles and miles away. It says that this man was seen at 1:53 a.m. And he was shown wearing a backpack and hoisting a second one over a brick wall. As we mentioned, 5 miles from Nancy's home, the person appears to be dressed similarly. I just feel like whatever this person was doing, he was up to no good. Either he'd stolen stuff or was trying to probably steal stuff, which is why, I don't think it's unreasonable to think if you're trying to commit a crime, you're going to wear dark clothes, you're going to try and conceal your identity. Like, no one's out there wearing high-vis reflective gear to go and rob a house.
Yeah.
I just feel like I feel like this was just coincidence.
Yeah, agreed.
On February 13th, we learned that DNA had been found at the scene that did not belong to Nancy or her close contacts. Sheriff Nanos would not specify exactly where the DNA was found, but said that they were working with the lab. The sheriff's department lab already had DNA from Nancy, her family, her landscaper, and her housekeeper. The sheriff said, "Trust me, if we knew who it was, we'd be on it. But we do have some DNA and we'll continue to work with the lab on that DNA analysis." So TMZ reportedly received a third letter on February 13th. This is a quote from an article about it. It says, in the letter, the person told TMZ that they don't trust the FBI and that's why they're using the outlet as an intermediary. The person said he wants a fraction of a Bitcoin worth $50,000 up front and that they would provide the name of the main individual and tracking information. He also says he will not touch the $50,000 until an arrest is made. And once that happens, they can then deposit the other $50,000. This is obviously the $100,000 reward money that this person's talking about. And he'll take the money. TMZ also said the letter included some ominous references to Nancy. So we haven't seen any of these letters yet to date. None of them have been released. It's just these snippets of information that we know about them.
Before we get into the rest of the episode, we have a quick word from our sponsor, NoCD. Have you ever had an unwanted thought really get stuck in your head, like in a way that felt deeper than being unsettled by it? Maybe you got caught in a spiral of endless what-if scenarios, couldn't stop picturing disturbing mental images, or kept questioning yourself and wondering things like, could I ever be capable of doing something terrible? Here's the thing. Almost everyone has had thoughts like that. They just might not talk about them because they can be violent, frightening, or taboo. But if those thoughts are feeling stuck in your mind and causing a lot of distress, it might be a sign of obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD. OCD latches onto these thoughts and can make you feel like a monster, even though it isn't true. But that's what makes OCD so debilitating. The thoughts and fears can feel so real that it keeps people suffering in silence. Plus, not every therapist understands OCD or is qualified to treat it effectively, which can make it difficult to reach out for help. So instead, people seek relief through certain mental or physical actions, even though they never seem to help in the long run.
But you know what does help when you're struggling with OCD? Specialized therapy. And that's why we want to tell you about NoCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual therapy designed specifically for OCD. Their licensed therapists understand even the most taboo or hard to talk about symptoms, and most importantly, they know how to help. Every NoCD therapist is trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP, a type of specialized therapy that's the most proven treatment for OCD. NoCD also accepts many major insurance plans, including United Healthcare, Aetna, and Cigna, and more, making life-changing treatment accessible and affordable. And they provide always-on support between your therapy sessions, so you're never alone. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, please don't wait. Go to nocd.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with their team and find out more about how they can help. That's nocd.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call. I did find it interesting that on this day, CNN released an interesting article about, quote, true crime influencers swarming Tucson. This is just a little bit that I took out of it. It says, as the disappearance of Nancy Guthrie has captivated the country, a flock of true crime influencers has landed in Tucson, and they're definitely influencing perceptions of the case for better or for worse. It says podcasters, TikTokers, and YouTubers are churning out a parallel universe of content about Nancy right alongside more traditional coverage. So this was especially interesting given what was about to happen in the case. It was kind of another quietish day until it wasn't. As the day turned into night, we learned that there was SWAT activity that was related to Nancy's case. It says that bomb and SWAT teams had just been deployed. Brian Enten from News Nation found out where the operation was happening. He was the only media reporter on scene when it all first happened. So he was tweeting and doing live updates. One of his updates said, there is an active situation happening right now involving the Pima County SWAT team connected to the Nancy investigation. I'm here, but I'm not revealing the location to not interfere with the investigation. Brian was reporting, though, that at least two people had been detained as part of the operation. He said at one point that it was a man and a woman, and it looked like it may be a mother and a son. So news agencies were reporting varying stories. This is where things just got wild. There were like...
This is where I went to bed.
True crime, I guess, influencers were going live and saying that there was someone dead in the street and that, you know, all these things were happening. Some people reported one person had been detained, then it went to multiple people had been detained. I was kind of switching between Fox and CNN as it was happening because we can't get News Nation here live. So I was switching between both of those. Fox did say a medical examiner was on the scene, but then later on went on to say maybe it was just a white van. Other reporters, in air quotes, were saying that cadaver dogs had been requested. So I did take a screenshot, which I'm so glad I did, but KVOA News 4 Tucson reported that someone had essentially shot themselves in the head during a traffic stop. This is the quote that I took from them. It says, a Shadow Hills resident tells News 4 Tucson that she witnessed three people being detained and another person shot himself in the head during a SWAT operation on Friday night. So
they took that article down now too.
Did they? I'm not surprised. Yeah. But so the general consensus kind of in the early morning hours after all this had gone down was that three people had been detained, two males and one female. Fox specifically said that it was the mother of one of the males. So that was insinuating it wasn't brothers, it was just two males. And then there was also another person who was deceased at the traffic stop. So Online sleuths were trying to determine which house was being searched, and people were being doxxed all over the place. Like, they're like, it's definitely this house, it's definitely this man. Many true crime reporters made public statements about a particular person who was, I guess, a semi-public figure who maybe lived in one of these houses. The Pima County Sheriff actually issued a statement directly about that. They said, reporting that current law enforcement activity is surrounding a home belonging to a former county attorney is not accurate. They were seen searching a Range Rover. They kind of were at the car, and then a bunch of, I guess, law enforcement held up like a sheet or a tarp to cover whatever was inside the car. People were speculating there was a body in there. Like, what else are they hiding? Just so many questions. So after all of that commotion that went into the early morning hours of February 14th, so yesterday morning, the Pima County Sheriff said they were going to issue a statement, that there would be no press conference. Fox actually said at one point that the statement was going to be emailed. So I was waiting for this email to come out to the media and they would tell us about it. But this is the statement that we got, and they did put it on X, so it wasn't emailed. It says, law enforcement activities underway at a residence related to the Guthrie case. Because this is a joint investigation, at the request of the FBI, no additional information is currently available.
I like how they're like, at the request of the FBI, don't get mad at us.
Yeah. So this was about the point I went to bed also, and I thought, when I wake up in the morning, this is going to be it. There's going to be stuff happening. You know, I feel like this is it. This has to be it. But the amount, like,
and I woke up in the middle of the night to check. I was like, there's going to be big updates. It's going to be crazy. And there was nothing.
Like, some reports said there were over 30 FBI and, like, law enforcement vehicles. Others say 20. Either way, a massive, massive presence. So I'm like, this must be something. It's got to be something. It's way more than they had for Carlos. This has to be something. So this is how promising things seemed. This is an excerpt from a CNN article. It says, overnight police activity at a home less than 2 miles from Nancy's home suggests investigators are pursuing a pretty good lead, according to retired FBI Special Agent Steve Moore. Moore told CNN that they appeared to be investigation-driven rather than reactive, and a possible indication that law enforcement had obtained information that they believe is important. He said, when you get a line of 20 federal cars plus all of the equipment trucks, this was a pre-planned operation. So, you know, again, I agree with him. It seemed like things were happening. Despite all this, though, we learned that no arrests had been made. These people who were apparently detained had been released. It says, an unnamed source spoke to the media and says that law enforcement questioned one man but released him, believing him not to be the kidnapper, and that man was cooperative. The Pima County Sheriff issued a statement. They said they carried out – the Pima County Sheriff confirmed that a federal court-ordered search warrant was carried out at a residence Friday night in connection to Nancy's case. No arrests were made during the search, which was based on a lead received by investigators. Law enforcement also conducted a traffic stop related to the investigation, questioning one individual, but no arrests were made. Officials have not released any additional details at this time. So it was around then we learned that reports of this traffic stop suicide were incorrect. I took a screenshot from Mary Coleman, who's a reporter for KOLD. She said, for those asking about the scene involving a Range Rover, according to the sheriff, there was no shooting or suicide involved in last night's operation, as had been claimed. They say a traffic stop made on a person of interest. The individual was cooperative and later released. It says, on the number of people detained, he says anyone at the residence was technically detained, since it's a standard procedure to give investigators serving a warrant the freedom to conduct their search. He wasn't at the scene, which is wild to me. Doesn't know the exact number, but he does say no sign of Nancy was found at the residence. We're still waiting for the FBI's statement. Another reporter, Brianna Whitney, made a kind of statement about where everything stood at that point. She said, according to my source, the wait for information about last night's operation hinges on evidence testing results coming back. I'm told once they are received, which should be today, the FBI will update us on where the information stands. Meanwhile, the sheriff says a second person was detained and released. No arrests as of now. So, again, kind of it seems like at this point it's a non-event. I personally feel this may be related to the case. People have spoken out about it since. They haven't confirmed who the people are. And I know we've just bitched about true crime people, but I feel like we have maybe found the house and who lives there. And there was
people
a photo
have posted the same person. So
yeah.
If you really want to find it, you can find it on X, but nothing's been confirmed about this person.
And no names have absolutely been released by law enforcement, so we won't say the name yet, but many, many people have posted it. The person who people are alleging may be involved does look very much like the person on the doorbell camera to me, I believe. But mm-hmm. You know, I guess it's that person has a pretty generic look anyway. I guess it could be anyone, really.
But that's why I feel like it could still be related, because again, like if they just got a tip on him and they don't have any evidence on him, they can't just like arrest him.
Yeah.
So my hope is that they're gathering evidence. Yeah.
And that might be this, if it does turn out to be something, we may have to put an update in. But at this point, no arrests have been made. I did read that they were only able to hold whoever they detained for up to 48 hours without charge, and then they would have to charge them or let them go. But either way, if they've been released, they can still be arrested if something does come up. It doesn't mean like that doesn't hinder anything in the investigation. Actual thing of note in the investigation that we learned on that day was that the gun holster used by the abductor was identified. Michael Ruiz, who's a reporter who we've mentioned, he said, "We received a tip from an active duty Miami area police officer who believes he's identified the holster. It's sold at Walmart, just like the backpack." So he's holding the holster up. It's exactly like you said. It's like a flimsy kind of soft material.
Lunchbox energy.
Yeah. So again, Walmart, this guy, person obviously went shopping at Walmart. Someone made an interesting comment and they said, "I wonder if they've looked at the exact things being bought and if they were bought together." Do you know what I mean? Like
I don't know if this was just reporters like talking about like things that they see in the past or if like they'd spoken to police about this is what they do, but I guess they like work with Walmart and they like find everyone who's bought each item and then just kind of cross-reference and see who's like which transactions match to which person, and one person has bought all of these things.
Yeah.
So whether it was together or separate, they should be able to kind of narrow it down.
But I guess too, the other thing is if the person paid cash and maybe went to different
Walmarts,
that's what I was
thinking too.
It would be a lot harder to track it down. But in saying that, this person doesn't actually seem very prepared. So maybe they were dumb enough to do that.
And they also can look at the footage then. Like, so maybe they have to go back. I don't know how long their footage goes back, but I did find a tweet about that too that I think I saved. But with Brian Koberger, it was kind of the same thing with Walmart where he was doing stuff and Walmart was able to go back at least like a month to look at footage. So I'm sure they save it for a while.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's just been 2 weeks. So surely they would still have, obviously.
Even
don't
if you bought it like a month ago or. Yeah. Like, I'm sure a company as huge as Walmart probably keeps their footage for a bit.
You would think so. So Sheriff Nanos did give a timeline for the DNA testing. He said it can take up to 10 days for the stuff to come back. So results should be imminent. I guess 10 days is still a fairly long time. This is today now, isn't it? Yeah. Today it's the 15th there. It's probably early afternoon. Let me just look at what time it is. In Arizona, it's 4:17 p.m. at the time of recording, so probably things will start to happen in the next hour or so based on the history of this case. But we have learned more about the glove today that was found. Basically, CNN have just released an update since we've been recording saying that the ones that were photographed by the New York Post that we mentioned earlier are not the gloves that they believe the individual was wearing. They say the New York Post published a photo on February 11 of the black glove, and when they asked the FBI if that was the glove that was being tested for DNA, the FBI responded no. So they've found this glove somewhere else. Some reports say inside the house. I don't know. It's just there's a lot going on with whatever this glove is they've found.
Yeah.
Brian made a tweet about information from the FBI about the glove. He just say gloves were found approximately two miles.
Is a copy and paste kind of from the FBI, because I've seen multiple reporters basically post the same thing. So
yeah. So he says the gloves were found approximately 2 miles from the Guthrie residence in a field near the side of the road. They were packaged and sent overnight on the 12th of February, and they arrived at the private lab on the 13th of February. The FBI received preliminary results yesterday, which was Valentine's Day the 14th, and are awaiting quality control and official confirmation today before putting the unknown male profile into CODIS, the national database unique to the Bureau. This process typically takes 24 hours from when the Bureau receives the DNA. He goes on to say investigators have collected approximately 16 gloves in various areas near the house. Most of them were searched as gloves gloves that were discarded when they searched the area. The ones with DNA profile recovered is different and appears to match the gloves of the subject in the surveillance video. The FBI has and will continue to provide assistance on whatever timeline is provided to us. So it does seem like I have read that 48 hours timeline is probably when we'll hear a little bit more.
Or we might not hear anything. But
yeah. And if the person has never committed a crime, they might not be in the FBI database. So that then they would still need to track down that person, like Brian Koberger, exactly. I did find it interesting, like a lot of people, this case really has nothing to do with Brian Koberger, but I did find this interesting timeline from that case. Because, you know, we always thought too, things weren't happening in that case. The police had nothing.
Yeah.
But after they got the DNA, it did kind of speed up a little bit. It was in late November 2022. This is about Moscow. Othram, who's a private lab, received the DNA sample. They generated a profile within 48 hours. The FBI took over the DNA testing on December 10th, 2022. And by December 19th, they had identified Brian as a suspect. So,
and they had already had eyes on Brian Koberger. The DNA just kind of confirmed it. So that could be the same thing going on here, where one of these persons of interest that they're keeping tabs on already, they just might need the DNA to really connect them.
Yeah. So that is where we're at, you know, as of the time of recording. I'm just going to double check there's nothing else new on CNN. CNN are saying apparently they speak to a lot of kind of experts and ex-FBI people. This is retired FBI supervisory special agent Jason Pack. According to him, he says the best piece of information and the best lead they have right now is the backpack. He said they're seeing who's purchased these over the last few months, and I guarantee you they're knocking at people's doors that involve these backpacks and just trying to run down each of those cells, which goes along with what we've just been speaking about. Imagine if you had bought one of those backpacks, you'd be like, oh my God. I would be calling the tip line myself and be like, it's not me,
Yeah.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I did read another interesting comment today from the Arizona State Representative Alma Hernandez. So she has spoken about this. She calls them self-styled online reporters who are undermining the seriousness of the case. She says, as someone who lives and represents Tucson, Pima County, I am so sick of watching the reporting, grifting, insane speculation, lies, and BS by random wannabe journalists and YouTubers who have now caused more harm than good to this entire situation and put this serious case in jeopardy. She urged the content creators to go home, let law enforcement do their jobs, stop following them during SWAT operations and playing detectives. So, like, I feel like it would be just so hard because, like, essentially these people have the right to be there. You know, it's not illegal for them to be there and following the case, but it just would make it so much harder for the investigators to get anything done. These innocent people are being, you know, doxxed and have their information posted online. Even there, which I didn't put in here, there was an unofficial sketch made of this person.
What a hindrance.
Yeah, so this person who is, like, the person is a sketch artist, but they haven't been, I guess, hired by the FBI to do the sketch. They've just done it off their own back and now it's everywhere. So people were posting possible people who lived on the street.
A lot of people will think that's like the real official approved sketch, but it's not, because people don't ever read into anything or check sources, I've discovered with all my time online, as people just read the headline.
Even I got a message from a friend last night and she's like, what about the Nancy Arthur case? And I'm like, yeah. And she goes, oh, it's the, what'd she say? I'm just finding the message now. She's like, it's the stepfather. And I'm like, who is the stepfather?
You're like, what? Who?
I'm like, who have I missed? And I said, do you mean the son-in-law? Because that's who people have speculated. And then she sent me a screenshot, and it's from some bot shitty spam thing on Facebook. It says, Nancy Guthrie, mother of Savannah, was found dead, and her stepfather, Tommaso, has been arrested for her murder. So A, Tommaso is her son-in-law, and B, she's missing, and C, he hasn't been arrested. So people just see those type of things online, and, you know,
and that post came up on my Facebook today.
So that's what I mean. There's just so much clickbait out there. Like that is absolutely clickbait. It's not correct. It's just such a mess that they have to wade through, as well as trying to conduct their proper, thorough investigation.
I agree with what Alma said. Like, it's annoying me, and I don't live there. I couldn't imagine living there and dealing with like all these people grifting and all the fake reporting. Like, and I said this on Patreon when we talked about it briefly. Like, it does sound hypocritical, I'm sure, as someone with a true crime podcast, but you would never catch me out in front of someone's house doing some of the shit that these people are doing just for clicks and going live and like making a spectacle of it. It's very sad for Savannah and her family. Like, her poor 84-year-old mother is most likely dead. They're trying to figure this out. And then you have people making like silly jokes about it. Whereas, like, yeah, like this is a more casual podcast, but some of the jokes I've seen are just like, it's horrible. It's a circus. Like, it's not funny. And people are just so invested in getting likes and follows and making money essentially off of this that they forget that these are real people. Like, sure, Savannah is a broadcaster, an anchor, and I guess you could say like a celebrity in a way, but these are still real people. Like, people seem to forget about that. And that's what's caused so much craziness with people being like, there's someone dead in the road, like this is happening, someone committed suicide, and all these rumors like go around like crazy. And then you get even like the real news reporters like in a frenzy about it because they're like, wait, what am I missing? And it's just a mess.
There was one thing I didn't want, like, just when you were talking about it, it reminded me. So when we spoke about the day where Carlos was detained and everyone lost their minds, one of these true crime online people, they actually went to the local hospital because there was like a Medi flight, we call it care flight here, like a health helicopter going to the hospital. So yes. People were speculating that Nancy had been found near the border. They were life flighting her to this hospital. One of these people actually went to the hospital.
Insane.
And like none of this was true in the end, but this person went to the hospital, went to the children emergency department, which I don't know why they were there. They just obviously didn't know where they were going, and like tried to get information on if Nancy Guthrie was being life flighted to this hospital. So
insane behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, imagine these doctors and nurses who are run off their feet anyway, trying to deal with shit like that. It's just crazy.
Yeah, just like the going live and all that. It's just, it makes me embarrassed to even be like affiliated as like a true crime podcaster, because it's just, I don't want to be grouped in with these people.
Yeah.
There was one last thing that I found that was interesting. It's kind of like the opposite of what we had mentioned with the persons of interest that were released and how we're saying like hopefully it means that they're gathering evidence against them, which I still think could be the case.
Yeah.
But this is just like another take on it, which I thought he made some good points. And this is from Defense Diaries on Twitter or X. He's a defense attorney. He's always posting about cases. We've talked about him before. He says, considering that Nancy Guthrie is still missing, the fact that the detained individuals were all released when they could have been held up to 48 hours speaks rather loudly to the likelihood that the operation did not net any evidence linking any of the individuals to the abduction. The concept that maybe the feds released individuals hoping that the individuals would panic and possibly lead them to Nancy is far-fetched, in my opinion. In operations like this, the search of property is typically effectuated simultaneously to when the individuals being detained are being questioned. Reason being, if the search nets evidence of the crime, that info will be used during the questioning to help facilitate a confession. In my opinion, if any evidence of the crimes had been uncovered during the search, they would have kept the individuals in custody and continued to work them while lab testing was done, rush job style. Would really love to see the affidavit for the warrant, and blah, blah, blah. But that is kind of like what happened with the Delphi case, because remember when they searched Richard Allen's house, they were like holding him and questioning him at the same time. And I think that he was like arrested kind of shortly after that. So it was an interesting point.
Yeah. I guess just to sum up my thoughts on where we are now, I feel like Nancy is probably sadly not alive. If she's alive, it wouldn't be in anyone's best interests for them to keep holding this frail, elderly, unwell woman. And if she is alive, why haven't they made a move on this ransom that they apparently wanted? I just feel like it seems like she's deceased to me. I still think there is a chance that the most recent SWAT activity could end up being something. I hope so. I would love to know more about the tip, who called in this tip. We don't know anything about why they actually searched whoever's house they searched. I just don't even know anymore. The only other thing which I guess, you know, it could be is that, and can't remember if I said this in the first episode, but maybe something accidentally happened to Nancy and it was covered up, but then why, like, she was obviously still in her house until that 2:28 a.m. when her pacemaker disconnected. So I don't know what could accidentally happen at that time, I guess. Why would anyone be there?
I was thinking maybe like the intent was to take her for ransom, but being that she's a frail 84-85-year-old woman, that she probably could have passed away very easily, and that kind of ruined their plan. And now what?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And then also, like, I think people are, some people anyway, are thinking that all these notes are legitimate, so that the kidnapper is still having ongoing conversations, or someone related to the case is still having, but this could just be some random who's trying to insert themselves and wants money, and that the people who actually are responsible for Nancy's disappearance have gone radio silent and just she's dead, and they basically they are trying now to not get caught.
I just think, like, what other motive could there be for anyone to take Nancy than money, you know?
Yeah, I would agree.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, it is such a circus now that it's hard to even decide anything. That's really all I think. I do still think it could just be someone who casually knew them and was able to kind of figure out who her daughter was and the likelihood that she had money or that Savannah had money. Sorry if you hear a baby squealing. He's here. He's giving his opinion. His podcast debut. That figured out that Savannah likely has money. I just feel like, again, why else would you take poor old Nancy?
Yeah.
Along those lines, I don't think there's anything else there could be.
I did find an interesting stat, just, I guess, to finish with. In 2025, apparently there were more than 49,000 abductions and kidnappings in the United States, according to the FBI. Sounds like a massive amount, but I feel like a lot of those would be parental kidnappings where, you know, the non-custodial parent takes the child. But anyway, victims who were aged 50 or older accounted for only 10% of those cases. So I feel like, for example, if a child had been the victim in this case and was abducted, there'd be every chance that child could still be alive because, you know, most children need is food and water and that's it. Whereas Nancy obviously has complex medical needs that probably the kidnapper was not equipped to deal with. So and even if they did keep her alive, probably the stress of the situation.
Well, she also clearly had an injury and was likely on blood thinners, considering she had cardiac issues. So
yeah, I guess, you know, there's still a slight chance that somehow the person has gotten her the medication and the medical treatment that she needs. But if they have, what are they waiting for? Why aren't they coming forward? Why?
Yeah, like, surely it makes no sense.
They can't hold her forever. It's now been over 2 weeks. They have to, like, I just think if she was still alive, there would be movement in the case. But there seems to have been nothing from the abductors. And maybe that's because Nancy has passed away.
Yeah, I think she's, at this point, been probably deceased for most of this time. Maybe not right away, but I think most of this time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. Day 15. Yeah, I feel like unless there are some big, huge updates Nancy's found, this will probably be the last time we'll do a full episode on this case. It just is ongoing. You know, never know. I guess maybe we'll do a DNA update if we hear anything else in the next few days.
Yeah, if there's any little updates, I'll do a little recording and add it in, but that's basically it. And yeah, I agree about we won't be doing another episode on this unless there's big, it's solved, it's done with, or it's just something big happens, because I don't want to give attention to any of these ruckus makers, any of this, like, all these, like, side stories and side quests. It's getting ridiculous. And I just don't want to be a part of it.
I guess the last thing I want to say too is that maybe my opinion has changed a little bit about who the perpetrator is. I was pretty convinced it was maybe someone who either was part of the family or knew someone in the family. Like, I don't want to name names because no one has been named yet, but someone who kind of knew that Nancy had money, whereas now I've probably shifted to this being more someone who did know who she was still, but more someone like a delivery driver or someone who just came in contact with her in some random little way and figured out who she was and that she would be a good target. I'm probably leaning to it not being someone super close to the family anymore.
Yeah, that's why I think I said in the first episode, kind of like what happened with Elizabeth Smart, someone was doing work on the house and concocted this plan, where I think it could be something like that, figured out who her daughter was, that there could be money, and went with that, which is why it seems very disorganized too, and the person did not seem like a career criminal.
Yeah, I agree.
So since recording, Savannah has put out another video tonight, so I'll put in a clip of that here.
I wanted to come on, and it's been 2 weeks since our mom was taken, and I just wanted to come on and say that we still have hope, and we still believe. And I wanted to say to whoever has her or knows where she is, that it's never too late. And you're not lost or alone. And it is never too late to do the right thing. And we are here. We believe. And we believe in the essential goodness of every human being. And it's never too late.
But that is it for this case for now. We'll add in whatever updates. And hopefully we get a resolution soon. But that is it. So I'll be interested to hear what everyone thinks. We have an ongoing blog about this case that Olivia keeps up to date. So if you want to check that out, it's on truecrimesocietyblog.com. Make sure you're following us on Instagram, because we post the updates there the quickest to our stories. We're all staying on top of it throughout the day and posting any tweets that are by, for the most part, proper journalists, not like gossip and craziness, like proper updates on our Instagram story. So if you want a place to follow that and not get stuck in all the BS side stuff, follow us on Instagram, True Crime Society. My Instagram, Steph_Sub_, Olivia's TCS Olivia. If you want to see what we're up to, and like we said at the start, make sure you check out our Patreon. I won't plug it again since we did at the start, but you should go check it out. And that's it. If you could share to your Instagram stories the podcast and like what you're doing while you're listening to the podcast, it helps us get the word out, and we love resharing what you guys are doing. Leave a Spotify comments and all that, and make sure you're subscribed still, because Apple likes to unsubscribe you. So follow, subscribe, like, share, all the usual things that the people say. And that is it. So thank you guys for listening. Stay safe out there. Peace out.
See ya.